please, to the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah. We look this morning in chapter 12, begin reading with verse 43. We have, for those of you who haven't been here, we have been looking at the book of Nehemiah, and we've gotten up to this point in several messages. And the setting was this: the children of Israel were in captivity in Persia because of their sins, neglect, shortcomings. God told them, if you repent, I'll spare you, but they wouldn't repent, so God did what he said he would do. He gave them into bondage. But God, with a mighty hand, arranged it, put in Nehemiah's heart to go back, because Jerusalem, the city of God, was destroyed. Walls were laid down. The gates were not there. There was no worship going on, and there will be none in any of our lives until we meet certain conditions. Restoration. Restoring the walls. Restoring the things in their life that's not pleasing to God. So Nehemiah went back, and he was prospered. And the enemy didn't like it, tried to tear it down, stop it. But what God has done and purposed, if we put our trust in him, he is able to secure it. So now these chapters have led us into this. The walls have been rebuilt. The gates have been rehung. And they are on the walls, and the city is called in, and they are worshiping God as God wanted them to. And then we read this very important verse in chapter 10, or chapter 12, verse 43. Also, that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. What a day that would be. If today everyone in this congregation and the ones that's watching by the internet and churches all across the world that's gathered in his name would learn what is required for us to be able to have that joy in their heart. It produces something. It produces worship. So I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on the subject, the source of joy. We know that when things go well with us, we get happy. But then when things go bad, we get sad. And so things don't produce joy, because that's happiness and sadness. But when God, and God alone, the source of joy, gives us the ability to worship him, then there is joy. Several things in the verse we want to look at this morning. The source of joy. Now, there's not going to be any joy in any one of our lives, or maybe happiness, but that will disappear when sadness comes. But the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah's already said in his book, is our strength. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you have to have the joy of the Lord. So what is the source of joy? How do we get that source of joy? And we're going to look at that this morning. It's three small things, although it's God can give us that joy. First of all, is deliverance, to be delivered from sin. And then, once we're delivered from sin, dedication. And then the divine touch of God that will produce that joy. But let's read the closing verse above that and see how God uses certain things in our life. Now, they're there on the wall, all gathered in his name. And when we come to the house of God, we've got things on our mind. That's just human nature. You know, you've got sickness. You've got plans for this afternoon, tonight, next week, on. And you got certain things and burdens that you're carrying, and your loved ones aren't right with you. All these things, were cumbered with so many things. And not necessarily bad things, but they take our mind off of God. But what does God use again and again to soothe our spirits and get their minds on him? Well, let's read in the previous verse, the last part. And the singers sang loud with Jezreiah, their overseer. See, there was music. We do that in the house of God. Why do we come to the house of God to start with? We pray or we sing. Why does God permit that and orchestrate that? Because over and over in the Word of God, when we come to the house of God with all these things on our mind, because we're in the world, we're not out of the world, that singing, God's rejoicing in their heart, gets your mind clear. We have a great choir. We have wonderful, special singers, and that's good. But we didn't come to be entertained. Every individual, whether or not you can carry your tune, if you can't, probably sing a little low. But if we can carry your tune, it is so important for everyone in the audience to sing. The singers sang. The congregation sang, making melody in your heart. And when we open up our mouth and we sing from our heart unto the Lord, they sang silent? No. The Bible says they sang loud. They wasn't ashamed of who their God was. They wasn't ashamed of what one was wearing or whatever. You know, you don't look around and say, who's here and all that. No, they just opened up their mouth and sang unto the Lord. And that is so important that when we gather in His name, we all sing. The choir sings wonderful songs, but the whole congregation needs to sing. Because you as an individual need to be able to get your mind on the things of God, so when the Word of God is opened and read and preached from, that your mind is in tune with Him. And that's so important. And then the Bible says once they did that, that day they offer great sacrifices. They gave themselves. Paul told us how to do that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. We've sacrificed our time to come to the house of God. We've sacrificed our love offerings, and we give ourselves to Him wholly. Let's go back and look at the source of this joy in these three parts. Let's begin by going back and look at chapter 11. They're gathered here on the wall. They're gathered within the city. And things have to start taking shape. Remember, the husbands are worshiping God with great joy. And the wives are worshiping God with great joy. And the children chime in. And everybody's worshiping God with great joy. Where does it come from? Worship. Only God can do that through great deliverance. Let's go back and refresh your minds. And how do you worship God? The Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 22, the first time He mentions the word worship, and that sets a pattern, that gives a definition for worship. Abram said to his servant, "Let us go yonder, and there we will worship God." Why did he do that? Because God told him to bring a sacrifice, your son, your only son. And you go to that mountain, Mount Moriah, and by the way, that's a place Calvary was, looking ahead to Calvary where Jesus was going to be crucified. And he took that long journey. And there he was willing to offer his son, his only son, Isaac. So worship is defined by the Word of God as this. Listen to God, do what God says, go where God says go, and do as God says do. And you'll never worship until you learn that lesson. Well, what does God say do? We have His word. Abram had His word. God says, go yonder. If he had not went yonder, he would never have worshiped. And if you and I don't do as God tells us to do, these three things that He's going to define in these two chapters will understand the source of joy. First of all, let's read verse 1 of chapter 11. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. So far, they had done it right. God told Nehemiah, I'm going to send you back home to Jerusalem, my city. City of peace, that's what it means. And now they're there. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring 1 of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Number one thing of the source of joy is there has to be a deliverance. They were in the land of Persia. And the scripture teaches us that the people over there wanted them to sing. And they said, how can we sing when our hearts aren't in tune with God? When we're in a foreign land. So the Bible says they hung their harps on a willow tree. We have the ability to play the harps. We know the words. We know the music. But we can't sing until there is a deliverance. Deliverance from sin. And deliverance from all the world that had an effect on them. So God with a mighty hand delivered them, sent them back home. They were willing to go, and here they are. The city was large, the previous chapter says, and mostly uninhabited. People were dwelling in the place of Benjamin and Judah that God had given those two tribes, and they were scattered. That's where their crops were. That's where their livelihood was. But God wanted a city of refuge. Jerusalem is God's holy city, and he wanted worship going on there. And so God had a remedy. He said, okay, I want 10% of all the people to come to Jerusalem. Many of them volunteered, I'll go. Look at it this way. You and I were in the world. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but God saw fit that we would come unto him. And so God offered us salvation through and by his only son, Jesus Christ. If we're willing to come. And so they cast lots. And the people that dwelt there permanently made the opportunity for those that were in the countryside to come when they could to worship. And now God has given them the opportunity of worship with a strong deliverance. But there had to be dedication, number two. When God delivers us, we have to be dedicated to him, separated to him. Those 10%, they were separated all the time. They were dwelling in the city of Jerusalem, making it possible for the others to come in and worship the Lord their God and to bring the sacrifices and bring the offerings into the house of God. God's got all fixed up if we'll just listen to him. And God has given us this place. And we come every time the doors are open and we worship the Lord our God. It takes dedication. It takes self-control. It takes sacrifice. And then once we do that, God with his mighty hand has delivered us from sin. He has delivered us from the bondage of sin. And now we come and we dedicate our lives to him. And that pleases him. And when we're doing that which God expects us to do, has told us to do, then he starts giving us some joy in their heart. Notice the verse that we read back over in the first verse, verse 43. And the people that stayed there in the city and the people that were in the country, they were not divided whatsoever, not in thought, not in purpose. It's just that God had certain places for certain individuals. And God's got a place for you. He's got a place for me. He chose me. I don't know why. I'm not fit. I'm not worth anything. But you see, when God puts his blessings on you, it doesn't matter what you are. It's what he is. He's the one that's able. And so God chose to send me here, the pastor of church, just a little servant's all I am. He's chosen you to come to worship, to bring your tithe, to be obedient to him. He has delivered you, and he has given you the opportunity to dedicate yourself to him, and that's the first two stages of worship. And then once we come, he has chosen leaders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, officers, all the things, the singers. God has chosen all that. And every one of us, you're more than just a bench warmer. You're here because God has chosen us to be in this place we are. It's his divine hand that's worship. And number three, after the deliverance and after the dedication, there has to be a divine opportunity, a divine anointing on each one of our lives. If we've met the conditions and we've been delivered and we're dedicated, then the rest of it is up to God. Abram did what God told him to do. Wasn't really much. A few days' journey up through the wilderness. And he took his servants. And he took the donkey. And he took the wood. but he couldn't have the necessary ingredient. He was going to offer Isaac, his son, but God says, that won't do. You've got to find a son there. I gave him to you, but it has to be my son. I'm going to provide myself, my lamb. And so the lamb was taken from the bushes, and that was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can produce worship. Let's read the verse again that we read together in verse 43 of chapter 11. And that day they offered great sacrifices. They'd been delivered, and they brought their selves. They were dedicated. Now it's up to the Lord. And rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. It wasn't produced within themselves. It wasn't produced with anything. They had strong hands. They built a mighty wall. But that didn't produce joy. All the works you and I do shows dedication. It shows deliverance. But only the divine touch of God can bring joy. Look carefully. And God, for God hath made them rejoice with great joy. It's his deliverance. It's his dedication that has given his son that's caused us and purposed us in their hearts to come unto him and give ourselves. And then once we do that, joy comes from the Lord. It's not whether or not you're happy or sad, or it's not where you live or anything about what you possess. It's always from God. God gives joy. The source of joy is the Lord. But you can't have it unless you meet those first two conditions. But let's keep reading in that verse. He says, and God produced and gave them joy with great joy. He doesn't give just a little joy. God's in the business of giving great joy. Now, once we have that deliverance and that dedication and the divine touch on our lives, and he gives joy, that produces something else. It produces a willingness. It produces something within us that has to be expressed. It may be with tears in your eyes. It may be with uplifting the hands. It may be whatever it is, shouting of joy. But it will cause others to see. And notice carefully the last part of that verse. The wives and the children rejoiced. So once the men that God had given charge of everything, the priests and the Levites and all the people that God had given charge, then their wives were in line too. And that caused the whole family. Wouldn't it be good? And it could be that every one of us this morning is here, husbands and wives and children, all would meet these conditions that God has so readily made available for us, that we offer ourselves to let him deliver us from sin by his own shed blood. And then we're willing to dedicate ourselves to him. He will, without fail, give us the divine touch on our life and the joy in our heart. And that will produce something, and it will be manifest in many, many ways. Look what happens. And they rejoice so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even far off. I never have understood it, and probably never will. We go to ball games, and when somebody knocks a home run, we rejoice with that. Shame. We don't look around. Yay. Or you shoot a basket and win the ball game, or you kick a field goal. Whatever. That's great. Or you run a race, and the winner crosses the finish line ahead of everybody else. Yay. But then when we come to the house of God, and God has delivered us, there's no doubt about that, and we're dedicated because he's dedicated to giving us the joy, and he touches with a divine touch. We're so laid back, and, well, I would rejoice. But look what happens. You can't miss it. The joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar off. Now, the people afar off, there was a lot of enemies out there. They had tried to stop it. They had persecuted. They had ridiculed. They'd made fun of. When they were building those walls, when they seen they couldn't stop it, they started saying, well, let them build that little old feeble wall. If a fox gets on it, it'll fall down. That's how feeble it is. No. The congregation standing on the wall, many of them, and they're praising God for deliverance, for his dedication, for the ability to worship him. And now they're thanking him for the divine touch. Everything that we've got today is because of you, Lord. And would you and I go so far as to say that everything you have right now is because of him? Anything that's worth anything will be centered around the house of God. And that's the way you look at the worth of thing. It wasn't the farms they had. They had great farms. They had vineyards. Some of them no doubt had great houses. That wasn't the object or the thing that caused joy. Joy came when they gave themselves to him and said, Lord, you're worthy. Thankfulness, appreciation. No doubt they had burdens. No doubt there was sickness in the camp. People had heart attacks and all kinds of diseases back then. It didn't diminish nor stop the joy. It can't be stopped when God gives joy. The source of joy will be those three things. It'll come no other way. Nehemiah teaches us so wonderfully well that if we give ourselves to him, joy will come and the world will know. They'll see it in your life next week that when they try to persecute you or all kinds of things happen and you may be sick and in the hospital and I may be too, but there's something within. No matter what on the outside, I can worship the Lord my God. And you say, well, you couldn't say that if you've been through hardships. Oh, I've been through some and so have you. Nothing can hinder or stop the flow of God in an individual's life if they will understand and realize what he's done for us. And they're willing. Wouldn't it be good? Today we have parents against children, children against parents, wives against husbands, husbands against wives. On and on. And then we got people against it. Doesn't matter. You and I want to worship the Lord our God. We can do it God's prescribed way. And it'll never work any other way. He never contradicts himself. Dedication to the service of the Lord our God. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Please come to the organ, piano, play anything God puts on your heart. Invitation. Some of us came this morning hurting physically, mentally, spiritually. Got burdens on your heart for your family. But you can leave here this morning with a joy in your heart in spite of everything, and you can give everything to him and learn to trust him. Simple trust. Oh, what a wonderful song. What a wonderful passage. God's word. Simple. Trust in Jesus. That is all. Trust him where they play. Whatever your needs are this morning, God would meet them if you would trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Would you come?